What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Morning, millennials. Happy Thursday. We are so close to the weekend. Hope everyone's having a fabulous...
So close to vacation.
So close to relaxation.
So close to sleeping in.
So close to never setting an alarm.
So close to not doing a full fetch.
So close to doing weekly episodes.
So close to doing weekly plus Patreon.
Reminder, subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/morningtoast, $7.99. We'll get you a full premium subscription, which is 5 extra episodes from us a month, podcast episodes, vlog episodes, and then also access to our premium Facebook group for members only, The Toast After Dark.
Speaking of premium content, though, today's episode of The Redheads went up.
I heard it was a real thought provoking episode.
It was a real thought-provoking episode. It was a very thought-provoking book, so those vibes just oozed out onto us. And I hope that if you're a redhead, you make some time to listen to it today or this weekend. You know, it's never too late to become a redhead. And thank you to all the redheads who are out there currently, you know.
There's also tons of new TNN content. Margaret Joseph has Patty Stanger on the podcast today, throwback. Lauren Elizabeth had The Skinny Confidential on the podcast. So all the TNN shows are just churning out premium content. There's new Girls Night with Raven and Alexis. And just head over to @ToastNewsNetwork on Instagram for all the updates you need.
Yes, every single update that you might need. Well, I can't believe it's Thursday. This week is moving along quite nicely.
It really zoomed right by, which I genuinely appreciated.
Yeah, I appreciate as well. We have so much to talk about today because Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was just really thought-provoking.
Italian chef's kiss. Plus, so much happened yesterday, like really weird shit in the news. And yeah. I'm like super like excited to get into it because like between Jake Paul and there's all this E! News drama, it's going to be a good show. And you guys deserve that.
Yeah, you do deserve that. You know who else deserves that? THEO being the best boy.
The best boy. I woke up super late because I was like having a dream at 9 a.m. that my father-in-law and Ramona Singer were going to jail together. Ooh. And it's like, if that doesn't sum up who I am, then I don't know what does. Family and housewives. Like, those are the things that are important
to me. That's an entertaining dream.
Yeah. Well, it's because I was up all night watching Housewives and then I got in bed with Ben. Like, that's literally my life.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Did you watch What Happens Live?
I did, and I really enjoyed it. I have a lot of thoughts.
I mean, were you just absolutely dying cackling when they were addressing how the last time Jerry O'Connell was on Watch What Happens Live, his Wi-Fi fucking stunk? So we went over to his neighbor's house, and he was like, I would like to thank the Shapiros of Calabasas for letting me use their Wi-Fi. He still had spotty service in comparison to Meghan McCain and SE Cup, but it was fine. It was better.
Yeah, but they also do shows.
Yes.
So they're, like, in a studio in their house.
Right. She's on CNN. Meghan's on ABC. Like, they have it together.
Yeah, it worked out fine. Jerry is just so nice, and we spoke yesterday about we didn't understand, like, how and why he was defending Ellen, but now right. I totally get it. He doesn't want to see anyone that he knows or likes or even doesn't like be ganged up on and go down.
Right. And that's what's so weird to me, that he's like ended up in the Real Housewives universe, because when he was giving his hot takes in those games, like agree or disagree, I was literally disagreeing with everything he said. And I realized it's because he is this like super nice guy.
He's constantly choosing kindness.
Yeah, he literally should fill in for Ellen.
Yeah, like, I was thinking that too.
He is like the epitome of kindness. And I wasn't agreeing with any of his hot takes. And it just makes me think how funny it is how he like ended up commentating on Housewives, which is like notoriously catty and like you always take sides. And he literally does not take sides.
No, but he still has an answer for everything.
Yeah, even though I wasn't agreeing with, like, his answers.
No, me neither. I really agreed with Megan and Essie, so I was glad that they were there to balance it out.
I actually, when it comes to Housewives, I agree with every single thing Megan McCain has to say, and I appreciated her takes, but I did not agree with a lot of what Essie Cupp had to say.
Okay, I agreed with pretty much every single thing Megan McCain had to say. I think there was one thing I didn't agree with, and I can't remember what
it was. Well, she very controversially said that she thinks the greatest housewife of all time is Erica Jayne.
You know what? So, I thought about, I actually paused the TV to think about what my answer would be. Yeah, before
that question.
I heard their answers, and Erica Jayne wouldn't have been my answer, but for every reason Megan said, she is among the GOATs.
She really brought Real Housewives of Beverly Hills into the 21st century.
And like what Dorit's bringing right now would not be possible without Erica. Not only like did they go from like having glam on trips, but like now everyone has personal glam, personal hair, personal makeup.
And it's like every look is a look.
It's sickening. I can't wait to get into the looks, but I agreed with Megan for that reason. My GOAT would be Bethany.
Yes, me too, and I was really surprised nobody said
that. Because she is just the perfect, her personality is so perfect for Housewives. When she's in a fight, she holds her own. When she's doing testimonials, they're so funny. Like
she's rich. Like, I was shocked nobody said Bethany, because that was my answer too.
Yeah.
And she has time after time. She's existed in seasons that were, like, star-studded, and she has been the star, and she's also put franchises on her back at times.
Yeah, so it was a very interesting episode where it was just, like, Real Housewives canon, which I love.
Yeah, canon. I thought you meant, like, Nick Cannon, which, by the way, I wanted to talk about Nick Cannon because I feel like we spoke about him a lot, and then we, like, never, and he, like, got washed out of the news cycle, but I've been, like, keeping up with him on Instagram, and he, like, fasted for Tisha B'Av, which, like, I didn't even do. He read Barry Weiss's book, How to Fight Anti-Semitism. Like, I just want to say, like, that's how you do it, and that's, if you allow someone, like, the space to grow within cancel culture, like, you get Nick Cannon, and I just think it's, like, a interesting case study that we should all be watching.
Yeah.
Because, like, people have stopped talking about him, but he hasn't stopped educating himself and learning, and I'm, like, I wanted to be mad at him, but, like, I literally can't.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And I wanted to put it out there, because when you talk about the bad, you have to talk about the good.
I completely agree.
So we have a fabulous show. I think we should dive in, while also, I just wanted to give a shout out to our Lebanese toasters. Hope everyone is okay. The footage that is coming out from this bomb?
Explosion.
Explosion is so crazy and so sad. I saw a video of this, like, beautiful bride taking her wedding pictures outside, like, a few blocks away from the explosion. And the videographer from the wedding, like, got on camera, like, when the whole street shook and they all went running. It was just, like, it just puts into perspective, like, people were just living their everyday lives.
Right.
It was really, really sad. So, to all of our Lebanese toasters,
we're thinking of you.
Yeah, I hope you're okay. It's really, really scary.
Yeah, that is really scary.
But
without...
I digress.
Yes, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And that's true, Jackie, but may I?
Sure.
Ooh, did you guys pick that up on the mic? My stomach is making this weird sound. I think it's my RDH
no offense,
acting up.
Like, maybe you should go to the bathroom or or read the ad.
I think it's my RDH acting up.
Yeah.
Well, there's always Policy Genius for when your RDH flares up. Policy Genius saves their home and auto customers an average of $1,127 a year by shopping top-rated insurers all in one place. If you're thinking $11,207 is a weirdly specific amount, you're right. But they crunch the numbers, and that's just what it is. Crunching numbers is one of the things Policy Genius does best. Their insurance marketplace makes it easy to compare rates from the top home and auto insurance companies to find you the best price. Here's how it works. All you have to do is head to policygenius.com and answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. After that, Policy Genius does all the work. They'll compare your existing policy against others in the market to make sure you're getting the right coverage at the best possible price. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're currently paying, they'll get it switched for you for free. It's the kind of service that has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So if you're a homeowner, head to policygenius.com right now to get started. They've saved their home and auto insurance customers an average of $1,127 a year. That's a weirdly specific amount, but that's exactly the amount of money they could save you. So head over to policygenius.com right now to get started. Why are you wasting money on insurance? Like, get it together.
Love it. Also, I remember that Essie Cupp said that Vicky Gumbelson was her GOAT. And
that's why I didn't agree with her. That's when I knew we were on different planets. But TBG, who is like a Housewives encyclopedia like ourselves, he really also believes in the power of Vicky Gumbelson and her being the top housewife. And I don't discredit him as, you know, a housewife's historian, but it does make me, you know, look at him differently.
Yeah, I think based on the facts, like, sure, she's the GOAT because she's the first and the longest. Mm-hmm. But
not anymore. Ramona's the first and the longest.
Yeah, not anymore. Okay, first story. Firearms were seized in an FBI raid at YouTube star Jake Paul's home. Federal agents recovered a cachet of firearms from controversial YouTube star Jake Paul.
Cachet is that prom store dress. A prom dress store.
Cachet. Oh, okay. So they went to the prom dress store at Jake Paul's house. At his L.A. mansion following a raid there on Wednesday, according to a report. Authorities were seen seizing several firearms, including a long gun propped up against a hot tub in the backyard from 23-year-old Paul's property in Calabasas early Wednesday, news station KABC-TV reported. Authorities were also spotted leaving the home in an armored SWAT truck and a dark van, as well as a truck with several agents wearing military fatigues riding in the back, the LA Times reported. The FBI confirmed it had obtained search warrants for the property, though the nature of the investigation is unclear, Wait. ABC reported. No arrests were planned.
I mean, this is maybe the craziest story I've ever heard. First of all, just when I heard that the FBI were raiding Jake Paul's house, I'm like, for the FBI, that's different than just like the local police. It's the FBI. That means like they've been tracking
months.
Him.
It's like when you see a documentary and they're trying to get all, like in McMillions, they're trying to get all the pieces together. They finally get the warrant and now it's time for the raid. Like a lot of work went in.
He has been on their radar for months.
Yes.
So when I heard it was the FBI, I was shook. Then when I saw pictures of like the neighborhood from just like regular people standing outside their houses, taking pictures of the types of trucks and the types of things that people were wearing, they call it a small militia. Like they were literally wearing, it was like a tank.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck is going on in Jake Paul's house? And then the more I thought about it, like, because I kept seeing like helicopter footage of his house and I'm like, he lives like a king. And it started not to add up because I never really thought about it, but Jake Paul lives in my mind at like the same level of wealth as like Jeffree Star. But we are very aware of like what makes Jeffree Star money, like his YouTube channel, his cosmetics company. He's an investor in like a big pot business. He owns real estate around the world. So it's like when you think about it, it's like how does this YouTuber have so much money? He explains it to us. Like, Jeffree Star's wealth makes sense to me in a lot of ways. But then the more I thought about it, Jake Paul's wealth makes no sense to me. Like, yes, he has a successful YouTube channel and he has merch. Mm-hmm. That doesn't get you a mansion in Calabasas. Like, not even close. So
he might have other endeavors as well.
Not that I'm aware of.
But you're a stan of Jeffree, so you know all of his, like, you watch the documentary. If Jake Paul sat down and told you everything that he's invested in, you wouldn't have watched that video.
He did have a documentary with Shane Dawson.
Did you watch it?
Yes. And it wasn't really about business. It was about, like, how he became the most hated man in America. And it kind of softened him up. But now that's just got me thinking a lot about his finances, is what I'm trying to say. Because, like, the house did not fit the job description.
You're saying something ain't right.
And according to the blinds, which, you know, the blinds can be off, but this is an NT blind, they say he's like the biggest drug dealer in LA. And he's also connected to like porn.
Allegedly
connected to porn.
Allegedly.
So that actually does make sense fiscally and also why the FBI would get involved.
Yes.
And why he might have fucking rifles in his backyard. Like they weren't just guns. Like they were literally muskets. Like they were huge. Like it was American Revolution type shit. Like what 23-year-old YouTuber needs that?
Yeah.
I don't know, but a 23-year-old alleged drug dealer might need them. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
That was my thought process.
Okay. If you take the blinds out of it, so far this story doesn't give us that much information aside from the firearms that were confiscated. Perhaps like it was an illegal.
Right. But I don't think the FBI shows up at someone's house who buys guns illegally. Like, I think that's a local sheriff's department thing.
In Waco, they do.
Oh, interesting.
In Waco, they do.
I mean, not that it's only, but I did only see three guns. Like, I don't think the FBI, like, travels with their tank to seize three guns.
I completely agree. There's something more to this story, obviously. I think we will find out soon, but we don't know right now. I think this is a much bigger story that will develop
over time,
and eventually we'll get a documentary about it. But this is just day one of this story.
I could see like where this ends, and I see Jake Paul in jail.
Really?
Yeah. The FBI doesn't just come to your house for nothing. Like, it's such a big deal. It's not like even if the police invaded your home, raided your home, that's a huge deal. But doesn't mean you go to jail. The FBI, That means they got you already.
This is a case for the FBI.
And Kris Jenner thankfully lives nearby.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. It's very, very crazy. We will keep you posted, but that is the extent of the story right now. Just
yeah. It's also interesting. He's just been like in it, you know, and it really, it gets my mind moving because the Paul brothers are so interesting. Whereas like they bust on the scene as fucking animals, like literally like they were like prankster and like, just like, I hate that shit. And then obviously it all came to a head with the Logan Paul video that just kind of took the world by storm. Really the one of the first early cancellations.
Yeah. But in our realm.
Yes. But he recovered nicely. And I feel like he's actually, I thought, like grown up a lot. And I don't even associate him with Jake anymore. Like, he's really like an adult and I still think he's cute. But now it's like, what is the association? Are they friends? I need an update. Are they in business together? Like, where did we land with the Paul brothers relationship?
And Jake was the one that got married, right?
To Tana Mojo. And we need to hear from her.
Logan's the one with a podcast.
Impulsive. Yeah, that's very popular.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, it seems like they're on different tracks.
Yeah, no, I want to be with the podcaster. So I actually feel like Logan's hands, maybe this is just me being naive, like might be clean in all of this. Because I just really like believe in his growth like over the last few years.
Logan's name is not in these stories.
Right. No, but it's just, it's crazy.
It's crazy. We will keep you posted.
I need more information. I'm so curious.
I know. And it's so hard not to speculate.
I know.
You know, and just like make things up of rumors that you've heard.
Okay. I'm not making it up. I heard it from Andy.
I'm not saying that's what you just said. I'm saying we could sit here and be like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Right. But we just got to wait.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
Do you think it has anything to do with, he's been like throwing huge ragers at his house during COVID and people apparently got COVID at the party and he says he's not going to stop throwing parties. Would the FBI invade your home for that?
I do not think so.
Me neither.
The mayor of LA or the governor or something said that he would start cutting off power and water to houses that were throwing parties, which is crazy. Savage. So I think that's their level of intrusion.
It's the governor's jurisdiction.
But it's not the FBI. That is not a case for the FBI.
I'm like, that's a little crazy, but we're living in crazy times, so.
Yeah, we are living in crazy times, but I do think that that is
not the reason. Next level. Yeah, that's not the reason.
We'll report that next month.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, next story. Another crazy story, like on the back of a story we reported on in January, and now E! News, Pop of the Morning, and In the Room are canceled amid greater NBC Universal restructure.
Can I tell you on my time hop today, I literally had a screenshot of the news story because I posted it on our Instagram. It's literally 1 year to the day.
Like, so a year ago today, they announced that E! News
was moving to New York.
To New York with a slate of morning show programming.
Pop of the Morning.
Those shows premiered in January.
That's crazy. Of this year?
Yeah. They were on until March. I don't think that they ever did a virtual edition of E! News or Pop of the Morning, and now they're gone.
To me, this is, and we have this conversation, I think, like once a year about how E! News is the weirdest network, because in a lot of ways.
Okay. E! Is the network.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
E! News is a program,
an institution.
On the network. I think when a lot of people saw this story, they're like, the network is getting canceled. What about Kardashians? Yeah. What about all of these shows?
Yeah.
No, this E! News 7 and 11 p.m., which is what we grew up with, that show was canceled. They had moved it to the morning, but now it's canceled.
Pop of the Morning
is canceled. That was with Liliana
Scott
and Victor Cruz canceled. And In the Room, which is the Jason Kennedy, like, we're going in your bedroom celebrities show.
Yeah. I think that's the right decision. But sorry, I misspoke. But what I meant to say is, like, we have this conversation all the time where it's like, in a lot of ways, E! As a network is like the coolest network. Like, they have Kardashians, they do all the red carpet. Daily Pop has really become like a cornerstone of a lot of people's mornings. And they have Morgan Stewart and Justin. Like, it's so cool in a lot of ways. But in so many ways, it is like the loseriest network. They can never get their programming right. They're constantly launching shows. And just when you think they've got it right, Lady Gang, they don't get a second season. Like, they just, like, can never get it right when they should be. They're like the pop culture network. Like, they should be getting it right all the time. And not only are they not getting it right all the time, they're getting it wrong almost every time.
Yeah, and what is even more that confounds this situation is the fact that the E! News Instagram has 15 million followers. Mm-hmm. It is the go-to place for breaking pop culture news.
Every outlet wants to be like E! News.
And they can't, like, leverage translate that Instagram collateral into ratings on the program that the account is named after. They are going to have to change the name of that account because
E Online, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think their Twitter
or
is.
Or E Entertainment, like just so it's the network's account.
Yeah. If you could put an exclamation point in Instagram, it would just be E exclamation point.
Yeah. It is really strange why they're not able to make it work. Also, E News has been on the air for 30 years. As an evening show. They did it as a morning show for 2 months. And
they
it
just
was
canceled the whole thing.
Like, why not just like try going back to the way that it was? But also, because of coronavirus, mm-hmm. they're not doing virtual shows. I think that, you know, they already had a lot of back-to-back content that was repetitive in the mornings.
Yes.
You got E! News, you had Pop of the Morning, and then you had Daily Pop. And it's all, you know,
the same 10 stories.
Right. So it's hard enough to do that when you're in studio and it's flashy and glamorous versus when people are filming from home. So now that it's been 5 months and those shows aren't on the air, like, yeah, it's time to cancel them.
Yeah, but it's just crazy that a 30-year institution was taken down by coronavirus.
Yeah.
Even though I think it was struggling before, I think moving it to New York and in the morning was a terrible decision. I think it was really perfect. And of course, like when Ryan and Juliana left, like it left a weird, but like that, like it was fine when Kat Sadler was there, but they just didn't want to pay her. Like it's just, they ruined it on purpose.
Yeah.
It was good with Jason Kennedy and Kat Sadler. They were still part of the original institution.
Yeah. They had a lot of good hosts coming in and out.
Tanya Rad would have been perfect for the job.
Yeah. Terrence J hosted for a while.
He was fabulous.
Carissa used to like host segments. She's on Daily Pop.
Erin
Lim.
They have
so much great talent there. Erin Lim.
Zuri.
Morgan. Nina. Yeah. Justin. Like so much great talent. And it just goes to show you that if Morgan Stewart is not attached to your project, like it will not succeed.
Or Justin.
But the only remaining programs are Daily Pop and Nightly Pop, which she's on.
Yeah, it's just E! News, E! Network really baffles me in so many ways because it's like the network of our generation in a lot of ways, but it's also like so fucking lame. And I literally, if I had to put a list together of all the shows that they've launched and canceled in the last 3 years, I think it would be like 20 shows.
Yeah, and now I'm seeing, I guess they are using some like footage that they have in their file cabinet because they're making these shows that are like celebrity
game
facts,
night,
like, and like facts about celebrities that you didn't know.
What are they doing?
I don't know. They brought back E! True Hollywood Story,
but then never brought it back again.
Where is that again?
And that was a good idea.
They brought back The Soup, but she is coming back because we said that should be an easy show to film virtually. You literally film it in front of a green screen. It's a one man show. So I think that's coming back, which will be good. But yeah, I agree. They like go all in on things, and then they don't give it enough time to succeed.
Busy Phillips, Lady Gang, that moment. They gave everyone once his. Yeah, no, it's like, I really think she was maybe the downfall of the network. Like, you're right. They come up with these grandiose ideas.
They spend all the money.
And then they don't give it. You have to give something so fresh at least 2 seasons.
Especially if it's something that needs time to, like, root with viewers and become part.
Like, the Lady Gang was a podcast turned into a TV show. Like, that is revolutionary.
These things take time.
They don't happen overnight. And I loved that show.
I thought it was so well done. I was just like, oh, this is it. This is just one of those things. It makes sense.
Yep.
It's perfection.
It's timeless.
Yeah. But nope. I never would have guessed. They don't even give it a chance, like, to grow.
So in a lot of ways, like, I do think they should have canceled Pop of the Morning. Like, did you ever watch it? It was horrible. Like, really, really terrible.
Really terrible.
But at the same time, it's like, have some courage of your convictions. Like, you're making these big ideas. Like, stick with it.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, not to say that it's necessarily about us, but there's just so much entertainment for free. Like, so many podcasts that literally get more viewership than a TV show. Like, it's crazy. And when it comes to pop culture, when it comes to Housewives, there's just so much to choose from in terms of podcasts, web shows, YouTube shows. Like, really? And it's free.
Yeah. Well,
who needs to buy cable to find, you know, some host who may be good at her job, but nobody knows? Like, it's just, they're not keeping up with the times.
It's a different world, I agree. But I do think that they have things going for them that podcasts or free shows or The Morning Toast doesn't have going for them.
They have the money.
And they don't lean into it. They have the money. They have the access to celebrities. Yep. They're part of NBC Universal. They literally can get
anyone,
single guest on their show. They do these, like, I mean, when Daily Pop was in studio, they used to do, like, these segments at the end that were, like,
I know,
like, dumb, like, morning fitness, show segments, yeah, like fitness, but like they were so funny.
I mean, you just have to invest in your talent, like, and that's what upset me about the Kat Sadler thing. It's like, aside from like the whole gender pay gap thing, like, wouldn't you want to keep her happy? Like, she's good at her job.
Yeah.
What's the problem? And I feel like now maybe they do that because I think they invest a lot in Justin and Carissa and Morgan, and they should have been doing that from the very beginning. But I'm just, this story is upsetting because of all the girls who like wanted to grow up and like be Kat Sadler and Juliana Rancic, like what's your dream job now?
Morgan Stewart.
Oh, true, true, true.
Yeah, but it's true. Like everyone's job, everyone's dream job growing up was to be on E! News. Yep. And the dream is dead.
No, I literally remember sitting in my intro to communications class and it's like, what do you want to be? And literally every single girl was like, I want to be the next Juliana Rancic.
Yeah.
And honestly, I felt that.
I felt that too. And then I realized that everybody else felt that too. And I was like, oh, I'm not competitive enough for this industry.
But the thing is like really anyone
yet could be, here I am.
Anyone could be Juliana Rancic. Like she read from a teleprompter. Not anyone can be Morgan Stewart. Like
okay.
Morgan Stewart has charisma. She has passion. She has uniqueness. She has nerve. She has talent.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. And I do think there's a difference between the two of them. But I think all of this goes to show that actually not anyone can be Juliana
That's
Rancic.
True.
And people think anyone can do this job. But she did the job for so long and the show was so successful and maybe you and I don't see what is special about her, but she had the chops.
Yeah. This is just so, you know, I'd love to hear what Kelty Knight thinks about this. You know, she's in the space, she works on Entertainment Tonight, and I just think it's so crazy and I think it's a really big mistake to cancel E! News. I just think like them moving it was weird, but it's a cornerstone of their network and it's fabulous. I know so many people like growing up when me and my friends would like have dinner after school, like we would just get home and turn on E! News. Like, and I liked that it was at 7 o'clock and I think they just tried to be everything. They tried to be a morning show. They tried to be this. They just tried to be too much at once when what they had was good.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, obviously they've made their decision, but I think it was way too hasty. I think that they should have tried to bring back E! News in the evenings with, and virtually now, so let's make do with what we have, like with some compelling digital host who can make a great show. There are so many great digital creators who make content for their YouTube channels using just, you know, Final Cut.
Right.
So I just don't think that they tried hard enough.
No, and it's like, for as long as we've been reporting on pop culture, like E! News has been restructuring. Like, when are they going to land on something?
Yeah.
And it's just...
E! Has been restructuring.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. E! Network has been restructuring. And it's like, why do we still regard them as like a cool network? Like, they literally can't get it together.
Kardashians.
Yeah. And red carpet stuff. Like, they nail.
Yeah. And they have good shows, too. Like, Total Bellas and...
Yes. Other but for things. Every Total Bellas, there's like 30 failed reality shows. Living Lohan?
Yeah. I mean, that's like iconic, but... Yes, there are 30 failed reality shows.
Except they have one coming up with Terry Bradshaw and his daughters. Do you see?
No.
Terry Bradshaw is like a football player, legendary, according to Ben. And he like lives on a farm with his like cute wife and their three blonde daughters. And like one of them wants to get a boob job now. Like it actually looks like a fabulous show. They have literally been promoting it for 6 months with the same like two clips. When is it coming out? It's coming soon.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds really good.
Yeah, no, it does sound good.
So I'm sure it'll be canceled in a year.
Yep.
Anyways, that's the latest TV news. Next up, Cameron Diaz is speaking out saying she felt peace walking away from her movie career to take care of herself.
I can never give you peace.
So Cameron Diaz, who never really opens up for us to us, but when she does, we have to dissect every word.
She's like not technically famous anymore. Like no, she retired.
She's not working. Yeah, she's retired. She's not working. She spoke to her good friend, Gwyneth Paltrow, on Wednesday for the latest episode of In Goop Health, The Sessions, in which the two discussed redirecting the course of their lives away from the glare of Hollywood. So Paltrow asked, what did it feel like to walk away from a movie career of that magnitude? Cameron smiled and responded, like peace, a peace in my soul because I was finally taking care of myself. It's a strange thing to say. I know a lot of people won't understand it. I know you understand it, but it was so intense to work at that level and be that public and put yourself out there. There's a lot of energy coming at you at all times when you're really visible as an actor and doing press and putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. She described herself as being, quote, sensitive to some energies that would overwhelm her from time to time when she was more active in the industry. She said, I've stopped and really looked at my life. When you're making a movie, they own you. You're there for 12 hours a day for months on end. You have no time for anything else. I realized I handed off parts of my life to all these other people. I had to basically take it back and take responsibility for my own life.
First of all, I love that we're hearing from her because it is very, when you think about it, like she did kind of disappear, but it was intentional. Like she didn't just fade into irrelevancy. Like she made the conscious choice to walk away from arguably one of the biggest like movie careers of all time. And it was intentional and you never really heard from her on why she made that decision. And hearing her speak about it makes the most sense.
Yeah. it makes the most sense hearing her talk about it with Gwyneth. Like, just is so beautiful.
Because in a lot of ways, Gwyneth has also taken a step back.
She's redirected her attentions from movies and being a famous celebrity to being a business owner,
which
entrepreneur.
Is fabulous.
Yeah.
She said the only way to get her into a project that you're working on is for her to be sleeping with the director, because she only really does stuff now that her husband does, which is so cute and ideal. Like, once you get to that place in your life where you could just, like, make decisions for yourself.
For sure. But it's also nice, like, when your husband is doing premium content as opposed to, like, if he was just doing
sad,
like, really
like art projects,
terrible movies, and totally. She had to be in them.
Yeah, it just so happens, like, everything he produces is, like, Emmy Award-winning fantasticness.
Right.
The doesn't creme hurt.
De la creme.
Yeah, no, if he was putting together, like, student...
That means cream of the cream.
That if he was putting together, like, student films, like, I don't know if she would be as supportive.
Right, exactly. But anyways, this was just a nice conversation, and I think it's a good lesson. I feel like we're always talking about celebrities, like, how do they do it? Like, how can you deal with, like, the weight of the world on your shoulders and the pressure? And some people don't have, like, the strength to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know who did walk away from it, though? Tinsley Mortimer.
Yeah, no, she was taken away in handcuffs. She didn't necessarily, like, walk away.
No, she chose a life of love instead of being in front of the cameras. Yeah.
I don't know. It's, I guess, yeah.
It's on a much smaller scale than Cameron Diaz, but it's just the most recent example I can think of. Where yeah. It's like, that's the same thing that, like, shifted her attentions. It takes a lot to turn down, like, you know, the fame
and the money
and doing those fashion shows.
Yeah, but, like, it's not that hard to walk away from it when, like, you're going to, like, a rich man. It's not like you're giving it all up, you know?
You're
he's
giving up the fame.
He's going to help sustain her lifestyle.
No, you're not giving
more
up
more
so
money. Than the fame could.
You're not giving up the money, but you're giving up the fame. And I think fame is a funny thing, you know, because it's addicting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't buy it.
Nope.
And so when you have it, it's like, how do you give it up? How do you, if you can't get it back?
Yeah.
It takes a strong person.
But she's given it up and I think taken it back more times in her life. You know, like she was had that Palm Beach where she was kind of irrelevant. Like if she wanted it, she could get it back. She has that, just some people's names like you never forget.
I agree. But I think after this, she's all out of chances.
You never know. Some people are just blessed.
Like where does it, I guess after, because where do you go after Real Housewives of New York? I guess like once her and Scott get married, like they could be on marriage boot camp.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Where do you go after Real Housewives? I don't want to know. It's yeah. very sad.
Podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's true. But back to Cameron Diaz. I just love her, and I want really, truly good things for her. And if she's happy, then I'm happy, even though she, like, did retire, but then she came back once to do The Other Woman, and then she went back to retirement.
So she's a woman of taste.
Yeah, and I'm glad that she did. She did that for us. Like, thank you.
That movie is so good. That's another so good. Content upper.
Big one. Big one.
Okay, next story, some Instagram drama between Megyn Kelly.
Oh, I saw.
And Brian Austin Green, because Megyn Kelly was just being like a cute girlfriend, posting her mans and saying, sorry, I need to get it quote
wait,
for quote.
Who posted the caption first?
She did. With
okay. Are you Machine. Sure?
She did with Machine. Okay. And she said, achingly beautiful boy, my heart is yours. Then,
which is like so Megyn Kelly, you know?
So Megyn Kelly. Then Ryan Austin Green posted a carousel of all of his children and said, achingly beautiful boys, my heart is yours.
That's like so fucking losery and a little weird because like the love you have for a partner is not the same love you have for your kids. So like it's just like a little gross. but like what are you doing? Like stop. Trying to stop Megyn Kelly, like, and their happiness because they cannot be stopped.
They cannot be stopped. Like, he already looked like a big loser, and now he looks like an even bigger loser.
He is such a nerd, like, trying to get her attention. Like, this is, like, I'm losing all respect.
And it's like, the public has chosen Megyn Kelly.
Of course. How can you not? Look at them.
You've been officially left in the dust.
Yeah, and just, like, embrace it. You know, the harder you fight, like, the further you fall.
Yeah, I feel as though he should be channeling his efforts maybe into meeting someone else, acknowledging that it's over.
He's still very handsome. He could get someone.
I think that he thinks, like, she's coming home soon.
Well, they did have this, like, tumultuous relationship sure. where they were together, not, they were divorced, but they were still together. They, like, always found their way back to each other. And that can be a toxic mindset to be in for so long, and you forget that eventually it will end. And I think it really for Megan has ended, but for him it's just like another bump in the road.
He doesn't understand the power of Megyn Kelly.
Right. No. Once you go to Megyn, you never go back. Ever.
You never go back.
No, because once you really embrace and feel the power of Machine Gun Kelly, like how can you go back to Brian? By the way, I just thought of something. Megan Fox loves a man with three names. Machine Gun Kelly, Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, she does. She's consistent.
I just love Megan Fox. Like, I know that she's, like, just in love. She's, like, probably having so much sex, and, like, she's just so happy after being with what appears to be a real misery for a while.
Totally.
Just get it, girl. She's hanging out with Lala Kent. Like, I'm living for her in this moment, and I hope she's embracing it and not letting this petty Instagram drama get her down.
Yeah, like, trying to, like,
grasp at straws.
Like, drag her down with him. It's not going to happen.
No, Megan and Kelly cannot be tamed.
They're too strong right now.
Too strong.
The flame is
so hot.
It's so hot. It'll dwindle, maybe become a little kindling.
As things do.
But right now, it's peak flame.
Yes. Sorry, Brian.
Okay, fifth and final story, a little exciting news. Kylie Jenner reportedly has a cameo in the new Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion video.
I heard about this.
Kylie Jenner reportedly makes a cameo appearance in a new video from Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion for their song WAP, debuting on Friday, tomorrow. Sources told TMZ that the video was shot the week before Megan was hanging with Kylie Jenner and rapper Tory Lanez, after which Megan was shot in the
feet. Oh my God, yes!
Surgery. That was a crazy story.
That was crazy. I've actually been reading so much about Megan Thee Stallion recently. Did you know that she got herself back in college, and like literally before last year's award shows, she was like doing a final during her hair and makeup, and then like went and like performed at the Grammys or whatever.
God, that is so cool.
I know. I just like the more I learn about her, the more I really respect her. And by the way, so crazy about she got shot.
Yeah.
By who?
By Tori.
But they were just hanging out with Kylie. They were all together.
I don't know if Kylie was there for that part, but Page Six reported that Tory Lanez was the person who allegedly shot Megan, and police arrested him on gun possession charges.
That is insane.
And he's scheduled to appear in court in October.
And she's like, she's recovering from a gun wound. She's still releasing bangers, you know? Yeah. She really can do it all.
She can. This will be a great music video. That's exciting.
Kylie's like lifestyle was made for a music video. I'm so glad Megan Thee Stallion respects that and sees that.
Yeah. And Cardi B's there too.
Oh, right.
Fabulosity.
Fabulosity.
Drops tomorrow. Hopefully the music video drops tomorrow too. Tonight. Yeah.
Midnight, right?
Friday. Yeah. Midnight. I mean, that's when the Redheads episode dropped.
Wow, you guys are so on top of your shit.
I need to stop doing that, actually, because then I'm like, oh, the episode just dropped. It's midnight, and I want to hear what everyone thinks. So I literally like can't go to sleep until an hour and a half has passed. Right. And it's just like, I just should wait till 9 a.m.
I agree. Okay, let's dive into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, our TV recap segment. Fabulous episode. We're still in Rome. The ladies split up to do equally fun things. I was trying to think, like, which would I have went on? The Ferrari thing was so lit.
Yeah, I think I would have done, I know I would have gone shopping, so I know. Like, let's be real. But I like to think I would have gone in the Ferraris, especially if I didn't have to drive myself.
Also, if you think of like which group you would have rather hung out with, I think I love to read, and that's who I would have missed in the other group. But I think I would have rather been with like Garcelle, Erica.
Yeah, you know what? The only person I wouldn't have wanted to be around is Kyle.
Yeah, she's, by the way, and she's Teddy really bothering me.
Teddy was not on the scene. She's really bothering me.
She's, you know what? The way that I feel about this whole situation has really shifted, where at first I was so obsessed. I'm like, is Brandy telling the truth? Is she? And it's very clear, given how poorly Denise is reacting and how she's tangled in a web of lies, it's very clear that everything Brandy said is true, but it doesn't even matter. Like, I feel so sad for Denise. She's obviously, like, mortified because in a lot of ways she's been outed, and she doesn't know how to handle this, and she keeps making up weird lies. Like, Brandy also said she slept with one of you. Like, that was just not true. But she's so deeply uncomfortable.
You don't know about that.
No, I think everything Denise said was lying, because she said she didn't talk to Brandy, and then she said she did. Like, she's just in a mess of her own making, and none of this really should have ever come out. And I get that Teddy was upset because she allegedly heard Denise said something about her dad. Like, I get that. But to air something so private to get justice for this, like, little piece of gossip is so not evenly matched up in any way. And I'm really disappointed in everyone.
I'm disappointed in everyone. Like, there's so much to unpack here. First of all, and Jerry O'Connell said this last night, everybody is upset with the way that Kyle and Rinna and Teddy came
with the information.
To Denise. And on the one hand, it's like, yeah, as human beings, someone should have given her a heads up. This didn't need to go down in front of the whole group. And I personally think it didn't need to go down at all.
Right,
I
but if she had gotten a text message like an hour before from Lisa Rinna being like, FYI, this is coming up.
Straight. I think this was a line that did not need to be crossed, but it was crossed. Jerry O'Connell said, this is Housewives. This is what happens. This is what we do. But I think with these women, you can make that argument for other franchises, but with these women, they care so much about, like, they don't cross a line with each other, but also they care about how they look on TV. These are very well-respected women.
Yes.
And what they did and how they handled it makes them look terrible.
Terrible. In a lot of ways, they're so unaware of, like, the larger conversation around what is being said, which is, like, outing someone without their permission. Like, they don't even see it as that. They're just so caught up in their own, like, petty bullshit and, like, wanting to make the show good that it's really turned me off to a lot of housewives that I previously liked.
What really bothered me was when, after everything went down, and by the way, I saw a funny tweet that was like, which room would you have gone to?
Garcelle Denise Street.
Like, those aren't my people.
I feel like, in terms of who I don't hold responsible, who I do hold responsible, honestly, is Kyle, Teddy, and Lisa.
Agreed.
I don't hold Erica.
What was weird was someone was saying, like, this was not cool what they did, what Teddy and Rinna did. And, like, they didn't mention Kyle as if, like, blame has just been foisted.
But that's Kyle's, like, MO, and that's why she stuck around for so long. She's so involved, but also leaves no evidence. Like, there's no trace. You can connect her to the problem, but not there's no paperwork.
Right. So the next day, Kyle was like, I had so much anxiety last night. I feel terrible. When she orchestrated this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I think she probably did have anxiety and did feel terrible because I think she's not a bad person. Mm-hmm. And she realizes, like, the situation that they're all in now. But she had 2 days to figure out how to handle this information. And she thought of all the ways she could do it and then chose the worst one.
Yeah. This episode just made me have so much more respect for Dorit for a million different reasons, like, aside from the looks, which we have to get into. But, like, her being, like, it's always easier to go with the majority. Like, everyone's, it's like five people in one room, three people in another. Like, which is Dorit going to go to? Like, and, you know, I really respect when someone takes the road less traveled. And she's unequivocal in her support and her friendship to Denise. And I respect that so much.
Yeah, I respect a good friend. And she's being a very good friend. And I think sometimes it is about, like, is this true or is this not true? But
not
in this
that.
Situation, it really isn't about that. It's about, was this worth being repeated?
And, was this ethical?
And also, now, you were bringing in, so there's the rumor, but then there's also the fact that Denise told a friend talked some shit about her coworkers to a friend mm-hmm. that's not on the show. And now that's fair game too.
It's not.
When it's not. I don't care what everyone tells their friends in private about the women. Like, what you do on the show is what you're held accountable for.
Agreed. It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. So that was really annoying.
What was also annoying and so strange was Sutton Strack crying in the Dolce & Gabbana store that she didn't want to try on clothes. So don't take everyone shopping and don't be so show-offy. Like, that was so strange. And okay. By the way, I totally get it. I fucking hate trying on clothes, especially in front of people and especially in front of cameras. Like, I totally get it. But don't make shopping, like, your thing and then just stop shopping.
I don't know. I found her to be really relatable. Obviously, that was kind of weird. I don't think we got enough context.
Agreed.
But when she was sitting at the table talking about how she put on a few and everyone's like, no, you're beautiful. And she was like, do you like when your clothes are tight? I don't think anybody likes that feeling. Like,
right.
And I had a real soft spot for her in that moment. I think she has these fabulous connections. She's a major shopper. The fact that they're going to messenger clothes to her hotel for her to try on just says everything. And so I think they had this sensational opportunity. We'll film. The girls love to shop. And then she realized, like, she needs to come out and do a twirl. And
right.
And that's not who she is. I think she's really
shy
and a little insecure and socially awkward, which we saw with the seats at Kyle's dinner party. I understand it.
You know what I think said a lot about her was that she ended up telling Denise that she had heard that rumor about her and Brandy privately. She told her that off camera.
Yeah.
Which is like that's what Rinna should have done.
Yes, I really, really like Sutton. I think, and it's funny, they flashed back to a conversation from the first episode
about
going to Dominic's house. And at the time, it was so cringy. But now knowing her, it's still a little cringy. And she was definitely, like, hyped up for the show. But I like her so much now. It took me so long.
By the way, it's cringy no matter what, but she has grown on me a lot.
And I also understand her more now. And, like, she's actually really shy and she's not show-offy at all.
Yeah. Even though, like, she confuses me in so many ways. Like, her at the table full of people being like, Garcelle, it really upset me when you asked me how I got my money. Which, by the way, I think it was weird when Garcelle said that. But, like, someone who's shy, like, doesn't do that in a group full of women.
And if you don't want to talk about how you got your money, you don't mention it again in front of 8 people.
And you don't just, like, if you really are so shy about your money, like, she's obviously not shy about her money. Those boots were heinous.
Oh, it was a cute,
sweet gift.
It
heinous.
Was a sweet gift.
And no woman, none of those women are wearing fucking Hunter rain boots.
If it's raining, maybe.
Or Denise, she'll wear them, but she
Okay, we need to talk about the looks.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I am very staunch in my belief that, like, Erika Jayne is the queen of looks. And, like, none of this would be possible without Erika Jayne. She is the queen. And I think last week she won with the looks. Like, she totally outdid everyone. It saddens me to say that, like, I think I needed to say that before I say that Dorit was the queen of looks, because it's so Erica's thing, and, like, she made it possible for everyone, and glam is so her. And I love that she takes risks, and, like, the women are always, like, some of the women are always, like, making comments about her looks, which is so, like, such a losery thing to do.
I really thought that we were past that, and then someone made a comment, like, about her hat.
That she looked like she was going to plastic surgery.
It bothers Kyle me said so it. Much, and I can feel how much it bothers her.
It bothers me, too, because it's, like, it's an art. It's a form of expression, and, like, even though I might not agree with every single look put together, like, I have respect for people who take risks, and I wear the same thing every day, but, like, I respect it while I don't always love it. I have no choice but to respect it, and I agree. Making fun of someone's outfit, like, I'll never forget how much they made fun of her in Berlin for her total latex look and her wig, and it was, like, she was so ahead of her time. Like,
she was so ahead of her time.
So before saying that, I think Dorit absolutely nailed this week's look in every, like, obviously the big reveal at the end was sensational, but I think her lunch look with Kyle was literally, like, my husband just died. I'm inheriting his $1 billion fortune. Her highlight, her sunglasses, her hairpiece.
Gagging. I actually, my jaw, like, hit the floor at times, and I realized, like, she is my personal style icon. Like, if I could have anyone's wardrobe, it would be hers. I love how she, like, styles, like, all labels and logos together.
Well, you know what's so interesting is that I don't think she has a stylist. Like, I think she really does it because...
I think she has a stylist. Because I think...
Her stylist doesn't travel with her.
No, but they pack the looks before.
Previously, okay.
I think she does have a stylist.
I mean, it's so sickening, and it's so red carpet and the hair. But what I was going to say was...
Justine Marjan.
Killer. Kills
killer,
it.
Killer.
Every look. Even the low bun with the big black pony scrunchie.
That was my favorite look.
Sickening.
Sickening.
So while she did look amazing, I do have to say Erica's look wasn't my favorite. Like, it was probably my least favorite look Erica's ever done. But again, I respect her art so much. And
yeah.
She's just expressing herself in different ways.
Also, I'm starting to see how, like, different they are. Because sometimes I think Dorit and Erica could just switch wardrobes and it would work.
No.
But no, Erica really, like, goes for it's very thematic and dramatic.
Yeah.
And Dorit, I don't know what the word for what her vibe is, but she just goes in a different direction.
Also, it's different because literally everything Erica's wearing is a major designer, but you would never know. She doesn't really do labels, whereas, like, Dorit is, like, the flashier, the more ostentatious, the better.
Yeah, but, like, that's my vibe.
No, of course, and they're both equally good. They both just, they bring so much to the show just in watching them get ready, and the fact that they don't even mention it anymore, but Erica always lends her glam team to Lisa Rinna. It's fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating. I think they also probably just like getting ready together and spilling the tea. Do you think that the 45-minute wait for Dorit's look was worth it?
Yeah, of course, but it is rude. Like, while we are filming a TV show, it's also a real trip with real girls, and it's like, if they can all get down there and Erica can get down there, you can get down there too. And I think she likes to be the last one there to make a spectacle of her look, because I think in a lot of ways she wants to compete at Erica's level, and I respect that. Like, she's very strategic about it.
It takes a really, like, big woman to
go against Erica
to try and compete with Erica, and she's doing a really great job.
Totally.
And I think that they're both winners.
Yeah, I mean, she looked so fucking sickening and insane, even in, like, the regular outfits. Like, of course, like, the big gold and black blazer moment was everything of the sort, and her and Erica had the same hair and it was so funny. But even I actually enjoy, like, the more casual looks more, because they're more impressive to me, like how she can be so dressed up and so casual at the same time.
You know what makes me sad to think about? When she goes back to her room and takes her makeup off.
Yeah.
And, like, washes her hair. Like, but you know what? And sometimes I feel that way about my, if we go to dinner and I did my makeup and it was like a 45 minute dinner.
But I feel that way every day. I put my makeup on 30 minutes ago.
But, like, she is giving us, I think if I were her, like, it's for the television.
Of course. I don't know if she would be going to this level.
It wouldn't, it doesn't matter how long they're actually out for, because we have these looks forever.
They exist on television for eternity.
But as someone who does take a long time to get ready, myself personally, I refuse to ever be late because of it. And Dorit should be starting 45 minutes earlier.
I know, but at the same time, like, they pack so much into the day. And they have breakfast, and then they have a day activity, and then they go straight into the night. And it's like torture.
Yeah. Also, when Dorit and Kyle were having lunch, and they were having that pasta and that white wine, and the sunglasses were, like, reflecting each other.
And Dorit was serving the pasta to Kyle and for herself.
And, like, ordering in Italian, like...
Sickening.
It was sickening. It was, this episode like literally made me want to buy a plane ticket and go to Rome.
And it made me want to go to Rome in the exact time. Do you know what month this is? Denise stopped filming with the girls in December.
So this is probably like October.
Fabulous. I love a chilly Rome day and you're wearing a nice coat outside. It's, I feel like it's more fun to dress up warm in Rome.
Oh, for sure. Okay. I had notes.
Oh, okay. Because, sorry.
I want to just sure that. So first of all, I just want to say, like, I liked when Denise, like, on the second night, like, was standing her ground.
And, agreed.
Like, everyone was just, like, so thrown off guard, even if she was spewing lies. Like,
she was.
I like when she is very strong like
me
that.
Too.
And I think that she's putting up with so much on this trip. Like, for the way they talk about Denise, you would have thought she would have left the dinner the night before and never looked back. But she showed up to Ferrari's. She showed up to dinner. She's having these tough conversations.
It looks, I agree, like
next week maybe she walks out of dinner. But by then, it's completely justified.
I was so impressed with her waking up the next morning and like having all those girls come into her room and like talk about it. Like I would be furious, mortified. I probably would have left.
Also, something that occurred to me is Kyle Richards keeps saying, Brandy's a lot of things, but she's not a liar. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, like, okay, so was Brandy telling the truth when she said that Kim was doing crystal meth in the bathroom? Also, was Brandy telling the truth when she was saying that Mauricio was, like, having an affair?
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
And then I saw a clip on Twitter that was, like, Kyle saying when Brandy was on the show, she was like, Brandy will just say anything to get...
Right, of course.
And so, is she a liar or she's not a liar?
She's a liar when it fits Kyle's narrative, and she's not a liar when it doesn't.
Right, but, like, don't make just blanket statements like
no,
that.
No, that's a very interesting point.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think Brandy was lying. We need to talk about one more thing. Based on the way she told the story, like, my heart, like, completely, like, felt for her. There are rumors that that conversation was
filmed after they got back from Rome.
And, like, faked.
I did think there was something shady about the scene. Not in that, in the sense that it was filmed at a different time. In the sense that it was just so overproduced and clearly staged. Like, Brandy's waiting in the car, but she's wearing a mic. Like, I don't know if and the rumors that I read on, like, literally some thread are not verified in any way. And I don't know if I believe it.
I didn't see anything, like, evidence enough to make me believe it. And I don't think it would even really change anything. Except it would prove that the women didn't need to bring it up because it hadn't been filmed yet. And
right.
They could have done Denise a solid.
Yeah. And just ignored it.
Not bringing it up. Yeah. Also, the last thing I want to talk about was Rinna's conversation with Denise. Because I'm just finding Rinna to be so disappointing.
Me too, is really sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And when she said to Denise, like, it's out there. It's like, no, it's not out there yet. And
no.
It's not out there on the show. And even if it was in, like, Daily Mail and Life and Style, like, you can still... How much stuff do we read about Dorit,
right.
Erica, Kyle, that the women just ignore on mm-hmm. the show?
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Like that time in the Bahamas, someone was chasing Dorit around the pool.
Right, and they cut that out because it was never spoken about again. They did Dorit a solid.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
The more you talk about shit,
the worse it gets. Erica, just time after time, being so wise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think... I think everyone could have done Denise a solid. And at this point, I don't care if it's true or not. Like, it's true. She's handling it so poorly because she doesn't know what to do. She was blindsided. I feel bad for her.
Yeah. I feel bad for her too. Like, who wants to be halfway around the world with, like, these people?
People who don't have your back. And I agree. Lisa Rinna is, in her friendship to Denise, is incredibly disappointing.
Yeah. The funniest one when Denise was like, Aaron will apologize to you guys for sure.
And then she's like, when he hears what you guys did to me here. Yeah, but she handled that well. It's like, in the grand scheme of things, that Aaron thing is, like, not a big deal.
Yeah, she's very shrewd. And so it comes, so she also is untruthful. She says, like, she's kind of fake and she says things that she doesn't really mean, but she knows how to play the game.
Because in so many ways, more so than the other women, she views this as a job. Like, she goes to film Days of Our Lives. She goes to film Housewives. Like, I get that it's her playing herself, but I don't think she sees it as, like, I'm going to open up and tell my story. It's like, no, I'm showing up to get my $4 million, and then I'm going home to take care of my kids.
Yeah, and also, everyone's like, she doesn't open up about her personal life. Like, she talks about her kids. She talks about her husband. What are we missing?
No, and it's like, not only that, look what you did to her when you found out something about her that was really personal. You fucking aired it like dirty laundry. Why would she tell you fuckers anything?
Right. Also, I was living for Garcelle and her shadiness. Like, in her confessionals, when she said that Dorit's look was not worth 45-minute wait.
It was, though.
I thought that it was, but it was just, like,
she was just trying to be funny.
It was just funny.
And I thought Garcelle, when she showed up in that black tuxedo dress with the pink, like
loved wings.
She looked fabulous, and I thought she looked great in the purple tux. She loves a tuxedo, purple tuxedo on their Ferrari day.
Yeah. Oh, I saw it as pink.
Really?
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's so strange.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we were just talking about the same color, but just describing it.
She's different. Like so shady, and I love that she's really exclusively shady in her confessionals because she's very, you know,
she's appropriate. She's going to have a lot to answer for at the reunion. But that's like, I mean, that's interesting housewifery.
Yes.
What she said about Lisa Rinna and the dancing.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I thought that was weird. Like, whether I agree with it or not is irrelevant. I just think, like, don't talk about someone's kids, like, thing, you know?
Lisa Rinna put her kids thing on the show.
I know.
I thought it was... And extremely like shady.
Yeah.
But that's how she feels.
Rihanna was like commenting on some Karen Huger Instagram live saying that she loved Garcelle. And like Garcelle saw it and was freaking out. Another quick Housewives update is that they filmed the Real Housewives of New York reunion yesterday at Ohika Castle.
Stunning.
Which is like an iconic wedding venue.
It's where the Blank Space music video was filmed.
It's like where the house in Royal Pains is, like that TV show. Ramona was on Instagram stories complaining that Sonia and Luann were over an hour late, but apparently it went so well. Luann said it was the best reunion she ever did. I mean, there's only five of them, so it couldn't have taken that long, honestly. But it was in person, so I just can't fucking wait.
I can't fucking wait. New York is on tonight. We'll be recapping it tomorrow for our last show, daily show, till September.
So reminder of a few things. One, my comedy special is available. It's called Disgrace Queen. Please watch it. Two, starting next week, so tomorrow is our last show where we'll be in studio for about a month. Starting August 10th, we're going to be releasing weekly episodes every Wednesday until we return September 14th or something like that. So make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube. The videos will not be available during the month of August. So Spotify, iTunes, all the places. The third thing is that if you're going to be missing us in October... Oh my God. In August, I'm just like taking an extended vacation. If you're going to be missing us in August, it would be a great time for you to join as a Patreon member. Patreon is our membership program. So go to patreon.com/themorningtoast. You pay $7.99 a month to get 5 extra episodes from Jackie and I. They're podcast episodes, they're video episodes, they're vlogs, they include family. Because they're behind a paywall, we get a little bit more in depth, a little bit more behind the scenes, some Bibis stuff. Last month, we had tons of fabulous episodes. We had an interview with Olivia post-baby. We had my closet clean out.
We also, we talk about Housewives a good amount on the show, but if it's not enough for you, we did 2 whole Patreon episodes, like literally 100 minutes of content, just talking about all the Housewives from all the different cities over the years.
Yeah, it was really fabulous. So there's, once you become a member, you get access to that month's 5 episodes, but then you also get access to all the episodes we've ever done, which is like over 200 now. So it'll really keep you busy during the month where we're gone. Thank you guys for giving us this space, the spotch to breathe. We said it once, but we'll say it again. This is by no means permanent. We will be back full every day, back in studio. We are truly just
bigger,
taking a hiatus.
And brighter and better.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast every weekday, Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow for our final show.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye.